Member Dimley, please come forward, and glad you're carrying this legislation.
Mr. Chairman, members, thank you very much.
This is AB 66, and while a good assembly member is taking the seat and getting ready, I want to announce that the Caballero bill, AB 1252, is put over at the committee's request.
So, I'm the only game in town, and believe
only
it or not,
town.
Mr. Cox, I'm carrying an administration bill. And I'm guaranteed Republican votes. Mr. Chairman, this is a makeup bill, and I think you'd be best advised to have the department, Mr. Horton. It's an urgency measure to appropriate $1.4 million in the current budget year, this year, not next year, to the Department of Public Health for Infant Botulism Treatment and Prevention Program. Having said that, I'll ask Mr. Horton to
Mr. Horton,
answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Assemblymember.
Thanks very much, Dr. Mark Horton, Department Director for the California Department of Public Health. Thank you very much, Assemblyperson Dimley, for introducing this bill on our behalf. The bill authorizes additional spending authority for a current year to allow the Department of Public Health to continue production of the Baby Big infant botulism vaccine. Baby Big is produced exclusively by the Department of Public Health and is used to treat infant botulism across the country and is supplied upon request worldwide. The department did not anticipate the need to change production facilities this year from Massachusetts to a facility here in California. This move precipitated the need for additional FDA oversight, which in turn led to additional costs to complete the current lot of Baby Big production. The money will be spent from the Baby Big Special Fund with a current balance of nearly $6 million. Appreciate your considering this bill.
Thank you. So understand the timeliness of it and the importance of it. Senator Cox, did you have a question?
Well, Mr. Chairman, let me say that when we have a quorum, I will, in fact, move this bill. I do want to point out to the chairman as well as Dr. Horton and others that the reason this bill is necessary is because there was a expenditure of special funds without authorization. And as good and noble as that might be, the reality is that there in fact needed to be authorization from the legislature. I believe after visiting with Dr. Horton and members of his staff that they have addressed the problem, and we have Dr. Horton's assurance that this is one of those things which will never occur again under his watch. And so, as I said, I will, in fact, move this bill when we have a quorum.
Great. Thank you. And Finance, want to hear your views, and we'll see if there's any testimony for or against.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, Senator Cox, for your comments. We do understand that the department is taking steps to address some of the issues that has resulted in the need for this legislation, and we think that that's a step in the right direction. This bill would appropriate $1.5 million from a special fund. There is sufficient reserves in the fund for the appropriation. It would bring their total level of expenditures for the Baby Big program to $4 million in the current fiscal year. We do support enactment of this measure.
Thank you. And Dr. Horton and good Assemblymember Dimley, this is one of those inventions and positive steps in medicine that came out of our UC system. Is that correct? Or somehow, how did the state get involved? And a corollary question, it's not really relevant to today, but in a larger scale, are we maximizing the delivery of this to those who need it and getting a return? The more individuals who use it, of course, by economy of scale, you'd be able to bring the price down in terms of some of the applications.
Correct. This Baby Big is considered an orphan drug, meaning that by definition, it is used in such specialized situations and at such an expense that it is not ordinarily taken up by the pharmaceutical industry. So it requires a special arrangement. This was set up through state statute and is currently in Health and Safety Code, authorizing the department to engage in this activity. We engage a manufacturer that assists us in the production of this, and we have costed it out very carefully such that the cost of delivering the vaccine and treating individuals necessary fully covers the cost of our production.
And do we make this available, quote unquote, market it, help people in Canada and Mexico, Europe?
We usually treat between 80 and 110 cases right here in the United States every year, and we do make it available to other countries around the world. This is the only place in the world that makes this product.
Mm-hmm. And once again, how is it that we ended up, California became the manufacturer, overseer of this orphan drug? We don't do that for every orphan drug. So how is it that we ended up being the...
You know, I brought with me Dr. Gil Chavez, who heads our Center for Infectious Disease. If you'd like, I could bring him up briefly to give a little bit more history on how this came about. Dr. Chavez.
Sure.
Thank you.
We're still waiting for a quorum, and we're getting closer.
A little history backdrop here.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, members. I think the issue back in the 70s was recognition that in California we actually had a very large number of cases of infant botulism, and we had really no good way of treating them. The medication available for adults, the antitoxin, doesn't work very well for children. And so our staff really, in just looking at this as a truly a public health issue for the people of California, and knowing that FDA had new regulation for providing funding for the development of orphan drugs, decided that in order to protect those cases in California, which amount to about 50 a year, that it would be a good thing to do, and that it wouldn't be at the expense of California taxpayers, and that we could actually do something, not just helping our people, but you know, people of the world.
And do you feel that our ability to outreach to make this available to other countries has been very thorough, or is there still potential to share the good parts of this treatment with other children?
Right. We actually sponsor an international conference every year where we talk about the availability of the product. We have a medical staff that actually is full-time job to reach out to other countries and to make them know that these drugs available and receive requests from them as well.
Very good. Well, it's a good story, a good place for California to be helping children. And so we're getting close to a quorum. I'm going to look and see. We need one more. Senator Weiland, on this topic.
Yes. I apologize. I didn't hear the very beginning, but as I understand it, the state of California manufactures this drug. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Well, state of California doesn't manufacture.
Right, correct.
The drug.
We hire a vendor, a manufacturer that actually produces the vaccine for us.
Who do you hire?
Baxter.
Dr. Chavez.
Baxter.
Right. Correct.
Correct.
And, but you have the exclusive right. We, the state, has the exclusive right to distribute it.
Correct. May I?
Yes,
go ahead. The drug was developed under a very strict FDA protocol that the department owns, and so per FDA protocol, we are the only ones that can produce and have oversight over the production of Baby Big. There are many steps in the process. Baxter does the bulk of the production. There are other folks that get involved as well, but ultimately it's under our supervision and our control of the FDA regulations and standards.
So when you say others in the steps, in other words, there may be others than just Baxter. In other words, some may give the raw material to Baxter that then converts it, but they convert it to the ultimate vaccine.
Correct.
Is that Baxter?
Correct.
And do we then market this, and I think this is what the chair was asking, do we market this countrywide, worldwide, or are there competing products?
This is the only product available worldwide. It saves lives, so to the degree that countries have the resources to pay for the product, we make it available. In the United States, we treat about 90% of all cases in the country with this product. So, in fact, I think it's the only product, and it saves many lives and actually also saves a lot of money in medical costs. It saves a lot of time in hospitalization, so it's a very, very good product.
Is this something that's one dose, like a vaccine, or is it multiple doses over a period of time?
It's one dose. It basically works as an antidote, mm-hmm. as you would get with a poison. And so basically, it just basically blocks the production of the toxin in the child.
You know approximately how much it costs?
Each dose costs $45,000.
$45,000?
Correct.
That's why the pharmaceutical companies don't.
Is this based... I understand the concept of orphan drugs. Is this based on who does oversight to determine that the actual cost to the manufacturer would result in such a cost. In other words, what I'm suggesting is it's very easy, and I don't know that this is the case, for a manufacturer to inflate a cost, or that cost may be real. And obviously with orphan drugs, do you know how many doses they manufacture in a year?
We do a lot every 4 years, and we have about 400 doses in every lot.
Okay, so nationally, this is a real orphan drug because the incidence is pretty small.
Correct.
Okay.
And the other
well,
issue,
I could see that.
The other issue with the cost is that the cost is not only for paying for the manufacturing, but also produces the oversight, our staff that actually work with physicians in making the product available, so pays for the infrastructure that we have to deal with the product.
And it's no profit to the state, it's just at cost.
Exactly.
Okay, thank you very much.
Those are good questions. Thanks, Senator Weiland. I'm going to ask Senator Pacer to ask her question, and I'd also like to ask as a background, what prevention work are we doing? Does California still have a disproportionate number of the botulism cases, and if so, why? But first, Senator.
Go ahead, Mr. Chair, please.
What was the thinking on that? It started because of a disproportionate number in California. Is there a reason for that other than the size of California?
Well, actually, we had at the time not a disproportionate number. We just, by virtue of the size of the state, had a very large number of cases, given the total number of cases nationwide. But there is, in fact, known factors for infant botulism that we have been working in preventing, such as, honey that is contaminated with spores. And so I think we've done very well in controlling those sources that we know about. There are others that are more environmental that we really have a little control over, and that's the bulk of our cases.
Okay. Senator Pesa.
Yes, I had a question, if this was already answered, I apologize, but can somebody tell me the fund that this money is going to be taken from? What is the source of funding for the Infant Botulism Treatment and Prevention Fund?
Finance.
You're asking
the
what
source.
The source of the funds were that into the fund. It is
yeah.
It is the charge for the individual doses that are used to treat the infant. So it's as Dr. Chavez mentions, that's about $45,000 per treatment dose. We treat 80 to 100 cases a year. That is what generates the money. That
it's $45,000 per dose.
Correct.
And the recipients pay this.
It's paid by the hospital that requests the treatment, and then, of course, is passed on to payors or public funds or whatever source might be available to reimburse the hospital for those costs.
Would there ever be a case in which the inability to pay would keep somebody from being able to attain the treatment?
I'm not aware that here in the United States there would be a barrier.
So would the money, I guess the money in it, and it would come from Medi-Cal or someplace like that, I guess.
Right.
Huh?
Various providers.
Some would, right.
Would purchase this.
Private payors, et cetera.
And there's almost $6 million collected and ready to go, and we're just granting authority for them to spend the money mm-hmm. they've collected.
Mm-hmm.
With that, we will establish the quorum.
Turlickson?
Here.
Turlickson here. Cox?
Here.
Cox here. Onestad? Ashburn? Cedillo?
Here.
Cedillo here. Corbett?
Here.
Corbett here. Dutton?
Here.
Dutton here. Flores? Kuehl?
Here.
Kuehl here. Oropeza?
Here.
Oropeza here. Ridley Thomas?
Here.
Ridley Thomas here. Runner? Simidian? Weiland?
Here.
Weiland here. Yee?
Here.
Yee here.
Quorum established. Senator Cox?
Move the bill.
Moves the bill. Without further debate. Open the roll.
Turlickson?
Aye.
Turlickson, aye. Cox?
Aye.
Cox, aye. Onestad? Ashburn? Cedillo?
Aye.
Cedillo, aye. Corbett?
Aye.
Corbett, aye. Dutton?
Aye.
Dutton, aye. Flores? Kuehl?
Aye.
Kuehl, aye. Oropeza?
Aye.
Oropeza, aye. Ridley Thomas?
Aye.
Ridley Thomas, aye. Runner? Simidian? Weiland?
Aye.
Weiland, aye. Yee?
Aye.
Yee, aye. Bill's out.
What's the
number? 9-0.
9-0. The bill is out. Thank you, Assemblymember Dimeley, for bringing this to us.
Mr. Chairman and members of the
Health Department.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you very much.
10-0. The bill is out. We're adjourned. Thanks, all. Happy Monday, and off to the other bills that have been taken off calendar.
Anything for you.